More at getmyflushot.org. Brought to you by the AMA, CDC, and the Ad Council.
Babes, what are you doing?
What? I'm just mowing the lawn.
No, it's blazing hot and dry out here. Don't you remember? Smokey Bear says,
avoid using power equipment when it's windy or dry.
Where'd you learn this?
Oh, it's on
SmokeyBear.com with many other wildfire prevention tips.
Right. Thanks, Honey Bear.
Because remember, only you can prevent wildfires.
Brought to you by the USDA Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
So this new dose is... Nope, that's not it. The price is nowhere to be found.
Mr. Green? Hi, it's all good. We've got this.
This is not just help from a Walgreens pharmacist.
Oh, new prescriptions. Cool. Let me check to see if these are the lowest cost options covered by your Medicare plan.
Oh, that's great. Thank you.
This is someone supporting you every step of the way. Chat with a pharmacist today to find help saving. This is the human kind of help. Walgreens.
You're listening to WRDN, 1430 AM, Durand, Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM, Translator W297CH, Durand.
This is a special report from ABC News, House Speaker Election. I'm Mike Dubusky. Louisiana Republican Mike Johnson just now being sworn in after being elected the new House Speaker. It comes after the first round ballot seemed to end in a loss for Johnson, with three Republicans voting for other candidates. ABC's Jay O'Brien has what happened next.
They emerge from behind those two closed doors, and then Ralph Norman and Keith Self, they walk up to the Speaker's rostrum, and they change their vote just before the vote is gaveled out, which is allowed under the House rules. It puts Johnson over the threshold that he needed. And then, of course, applause breaks out in the House chamber. There's backslapping, there's hugs, there's handshaking. Mike Johnson even shaking the hand of, at least as we saw on the cameras there, Keith Self, after they appeared to talk behind closed doors.
President-elect Donald Trump also spoke on the phone with Norman and Self before they switched their votes. This is ABC News. President Biden has officially blocked Nippon Steel, a Japanese company, from purchasing U.S. steel. David McCall, president of the United Steelworkers, applauded the move.
We have no doubt that the president's decision was the right move for our members and for America's national security.
ABC's Mary Bruce has more.
Now, the president has publicly opposed the takeover for months, arguing U.S. Steel should remain an American-owned company. But still, the decision is an extraordinary use of executive power with just weeks left in office. And as you note, it could damage U.S. relations with Japan.
An 8-year-old boy missing for 5 days was found alive this week in a Zimbabwean game park that's home to wild animals, including about 40 lions. He wandered miles away from his rural village and into the national park, surviving on wild fruits and digging a hole along the dry riverbed to access underground water. Officials say it's a miracle that he managed to survive. I'm Mike Dubusky, ABC News.
Presenting Again Fling's Love Story. Dear love of my life, we were on the 12B bus this morning when I caught a whiff. A scent so fresh, so life-changing, I had to find its source. Alas, I didn't know if you were the woman in the pink freshly washed cardigan or the retired mailman next to me, but I knew one of you was my soulmate. Ah, the scent of Game Flings. Try Game Flings with OxyBoost and Febreze.
It's a new year, and you have the chance to focus on you. Take the opportunity to treat yourself to something amazing and come into Macy's this weekend for great deals on wardrobe superstars like 20 to 30% off Karl Lagerfeld, Levi's, Tommy Hilfiger, and more. While you're at it, get back into a healthy routine with new gear from Nike, Adidas, and Under Armour. And your New Year's resolutions? Oh, you have plenty of time to figure them out. But these deals are going on now at Macy's. Savings off already reduced prices. Exclusions apply.
Wisconsin Radio Network News. I'm Tad Aylin. Staff of the Wisconsin Elections Commission will investigate nearly 200 uncounted absentee ballots in Madison. Commission Chair Ann Jacobs during a special meeting Thursday.
We can't be a part of the solution until we know what went wrong.
Madison election officials discovered 193 absentee ballots weeks after the November 5th election. The commission was made aware of the missing ballots December 18th, the mayor's office in public after that. Madison Mayor Satya Rhodes Conway has also pledged to conduct a thorough review of the city's election policies and procedures. Three candidates have announced for state superintendent of public instruction.
Incumbent Jill Underley, education consultant Brittany Kinzer, and Sauk Prairie superintendent Jeff Wright have all registered. If they gather at least 2,000 signatures by January 7th, voters will narrow the field for the April general election to two in a February primary. Wright previously ran for state assembly as a Democrat in 2016 and 2018. Kinzer owns an education consulting firm and previously led the state's Rocket Ship Schools and served as president of the Milwaukee-based City Forward Collective. Bob Haig, Wisconsin Radio Network.
It won't take long into 2025 for Wisconsin to have a major winter storm. UW-Madison professor of atmospheric and oceanic sciences John Martin says you shouldn't think an easy winter is ahead just because of recent warm temperatures.
And it's easy to get excited that we really only have 2 months of winter left. We have 2 months of that threat in front of us. Most winters in the past, we've had 3.5 such months of threat. But we are going to be reminded that there is such a thing as winter within the next 6 to 8 days. I can guarantee you that.
Martin says lows could get into the negative teens between next Wednesday and Thursday. You're listening to Wisconsin Radio Network News.
Young farmers don't listen to the radio, right? Wrong. In a recent survey, 80% of young producers said they get their most important agriculture information from their trusted farm radio station. Surprised? Don't be. If you think about it, it makes perfect sense. Radio is the perfect companion because it goes with you everywhere. Whether you are in the shop, on the combine, or in the truck, farm radio is right there with you. This message brought to you by the National Association of Farm Broadcasting.
Plenty of sunshine today in our Real Country 1430 forecast. So we'll have temperatures in the teens, northwest winds at 10 to 15. Tonight, clear and cold, a low near 1 above. Tomorrow, sunshine, highs near 13. Sunday, partly sunny, highs near 14. Be listening for coverage of Durant, Arkansas at Somerset Girls Basketball tonight. The Advent Health Panther preview is at 6:45, tip-off at 7. Here on Real Country 1430 AM and 107.3 FM WRDN.
And welcome into AOA. Thanks for joining us here today as we are wrapping up the week and kicking off the new year. Still plenty to talk about on our show today. Good to have you along with us. I'm your host, Jesse Allen. Coming up, we're going to talk markets in just a moment with Kyle Bumstead from Allendale. In segments two and three, it is our January 2025 Farmer Rancher Roundtable. We're going to catch up with some previous guests of the roundtable, Rick Willert and Andrew Foof, both from Iowa. They are the co-hosts of the Farmer Sense podcast. They're going to join us for our roundtable discussion. I'm sure we'll talk about economic aid, farm bill, you name it, look ahead to 2025, maybe some acreage decisions already being made and more. So we'll get into the roundtable discussion starting in segment two. Then at the end of the show, we'll take a look at news headlines here today, including some breakdowns of this economic aid payments per crop by state, et cetera. FAPRI at the University of Missouri has done a nice job breaking all of this down for folks to take a look at. We'll run through those numbers and other news headlines coming up here later on in the show. Let's kick things off and take a look at what's going on in the markets. Seeing a bit of a setback here in the grains and oil seeds on Friday's trade. Let's run through things. Joining us now, Kyle Bumstead with Allendale. Kyle, Happy New Year. Good to have you with us again. Hope you're doing well.
You bet. Happy New Year to you. You too, sir.
Well, let's take a broad look at this. And we were chatting before we went on the air. Grains and oil seeds, you know, we've had a pretty okay week, I would say, with the New Year's holiday situated in the middle, yet we're kind of setting back here today. I know we've been seeing basis widen a little bit to some degree. I guess let's start in the grains, just 1,000-foot view this for us here. What's your perception as we close out the week, Kyle?
I think we put a short-term top in here on both corn and beans here this week. Yesterday and the day before, we got that corn just couldn't quite crack 460. That was the next round number of resistance up there on that March contract. So I did notice yesterday there was a lot of puts bought. A lot of the 450 March puts were getting bought. Some were trying to sell calls, but there's not a lot of volatility there. But yeah, you hit on a major point there. The basis has been slowly widening out, which is a development here. Even through the holidays, most of the time during the holidays, you get a little bit of a basis push because folks aren't delivering. But I think once we get after the first of the year here, we're into the first of the year, but once we get through this week, we start getting things open back up next week, aside from the Day of Remembrance we have for former President Jimmy Carter on Thursday afternoon, you're going to start to see some grain move. You might get that second harvest where they start to empty the bins out here, because talking with like CPA and some of the bankers and stuff like that, things were okay here this year for the row crop side of things. But if things don't change here for 2025, it's going to be kind of ugly the way it's sounding. So I think guys are going to be trying to move some grain, get some cash. I do know some bins of corn around the country that have started to go out of condition on folks because they just didn't check them. And, you know, it's been a pretty decent fall here, so didn't run a lot of air on them. But that's going to start to become an issue too, as well, as far as quality goes. Now, we did have exports this morning here delayed, obviously, because of the New Year's holiday and things were lower. But we also got to remember last week was a holiday week too. So we got to wait and see once we start finally do start getting into full weeks of trade here, kind of what the mentality is here.
And you brought up an interesting note, too, with the Day of Remembrance for former President Jimmy Carter next week, Thursday. And then that Friday, we'll have the January USDA report, but we're going to have a shortened session on Thursday the 9th. One has to wonder what that could do for trade ahead of that that USDA report on Friday, Kyle.
Yeah, there's going to be probably a little bit more position squaring. I look for Thursday to be a little bit more active next week than you'd normally see a Thursday, just for the simple fact we're going to be cutting things off an hour early. So folks are going to want to try to be getting their position done ahead of this crop report. Now, I think the market's already trading it in here. We're seeing so far, we're seeing the basis and spreads. Like I said, the basis has been slowly widening out here. The spreads are still somewhat friendly here. They're kind of flirting with that neutral aspect as far as the carry goes. So that's something worth watching as well too. But what I think what I think people really need to watch here moving forward here, aside from this January report, yeah, we've got that to deal with. But we've got that November beans versus December corn sitting at 2.29 on ratio, which really screams plant corn. So I want producers to really sit down here and take a look at that Dees 2025 corn. Seems like 450 is the kind of a magical number that it's tough to get to. I know I talked to a lot of folks here earlier this week, and we're sitting around 444, 445, 446. I want 450. Well, I know guys a year ago that wanted 199 for April fats, and they passed up they wanted 200 for April fats. They got 199.97, wouldn't take it. Then we saw a big setback there as far as the fats go. So, you know, corn, it could be a rocky go here this spring for corn, especially if that ratio stays like that. Now, beans, it really doesn't pencil to plant beans. So I think a lot of folks are going to head to that corn for the crop insurance guarantees and things like that. And let's face it, we can grow a lot bigger corn crop in the States than we can beans.
Kyle, what are you watching in the cattle trade here as we kick off 2025? Any big notes for you across fats and feeders this week?
Oh, man, we've started cattle off on a bang this year. I mean, we took February live cattle this morning to 194.60. We took the April up to 196.85. And we've taken feeders yesterday up into new all-time highs as far as contract-wise. And I really think that we do have a little bit more upside coming here, but we are due for a technical pullback. However, the non-commercial, the funds keep adding to this thing here. They just keep building a bigger and bigger and bigger position. And so that's worth watching there. When they start to pull the pin on that and start to take profit, it could get really ugly for nothing more than, you know, taking money off the table. So I do realize that cash has a lot to do with it, and cash drives a lot of the market, but the funds have been in the driver's seat lately. Contrary to what folks think about the cash market, the funds have been in the driver's seat. And so they've really been giving the gift here to producers, because I still talk to a lot of guys and say, yeah, these calves are high priced and they just don't quite work against that deferred fat board. So if anything, you need to see the feeders come down a little bit and the fats go up out in the back in order for this thing to work. So a lot of folks have just been buying straight up puts and leaving the top side open in case this thing runs. But cattle are always susceptible to a black swan event, and it wouldn't take much for this thing to really set back. And with the position that these non-commercial funds have, if they hit the exit door, you won't be able to get out fast enough.
Some people have been mentioning to me that they can't believe that with the high cost of beef at retail, you know, how prices are still as high as they are right now. I mean, when you look at futures and more, it's just, I think the domestic demand piece might be an interesting conversation here early in the year. What do you think?
I would say so, too, because in a week or two, you've got a lot of credit card bills coming due here from the holidays. So that's going to be a real tester here. And then also watching the Fed, too. What are they going to do with interest rates, and how's that going to affect the mortgage payments and things like that moving forward here throughout the rest of the year for folks, you know, that are on salary incomes and things like that. So that's something that we all need to keep an eye on, too. And we also need to keep an eye on the inflation numbers as well. And not only that, but I think we need to keep a watch on China's economy as well, because they're struggling over there as well, too, as far as the economic indicators and numbers we've been seeing here recently.
Kyle, always appreciate the insight and the thoughts. Thanks for being with us here today. We're up against the clock, and we'll let you go, and I'm sure we'll talk to you again in a couple of weeks. Kyle Bumstead with Allendale, thanks again. Have a good one. We'll talk to you soon, Kyle.
You bet. Thanks for having me back, sir.
Coming up next, we're going to continue our program today. We're going to dive into various issues and get the farmer perspective on economic aid, farm bill, et cetera, et cetera. It is our January 2025 Farmer Rancher Roundtable. We're going to be joined by guests Andrew Foof and Rick Willert from Iowa. They are the co-hosts of the Farmer Sense podcast. We'll get to the Farmer Rancher Roundtable on the way next here on AOA.
A careless driver can change your life in an instant. Do you know what to do or who to call? If you've been injured in a motor vehicle accident and don't have an attorney, call Auto Accident Help Desk for a free consultation. We can answer all of your questions and estimate the potential value of your case. Call Auto Accident Help Desk and connect with an expert personal injury attorney.
Call 800-880-1344. 800-880-1344.
Don't worry how to handle your medical bills, lost wages, and pain. We will get you the money you deserve.
They got me way more than the insurance company offered.
The consultation is free, and you don't pay any legal fees unless we win or settle your case. Make the smart call if you've been injured in an auto accident. Call Auto Accident Help Desk for a free legal consultation.
Call 800-880-1344. 800-880-1344. 800-880-1344.
Auto Accident Help Desk. Agriculture is a busy job, and it requires you to constantly be on the go. That's why Farm and Ranch Media and our brands, American Ag Network, AOA, and Market Talk, are here to provide you with the latest news and information that impacts your operation. We'll keep you up to date with the latest market information, ag news, weather, and more from here at home and around the world. Thanks for listening, and stay farm informed with Farm and Ranch Media.
80 million listeners depend on AM radio to always be on, delivering news, sports, talk, traffic, and weather reports you can trust. AM radio also delivers vital emergency information when you need it most. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to pass the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act to keep AM radio in cars.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
Compeer Financial helped us get into our forever home.
They helped me expand more than acreage.
And helped our dairy grow for the next generation.
At Compeer Financial, we see potential in every plan. Our unique perspective finds solutions to your challenges. And our specially trained financial team guides you every step of the way. Partner with us to make your goals possible. Compeer.com. Compeer Financial ACA is an equal opportunity lender and equal opportunity provider. And MLS number 619731, copyright 2019, all rights reserved.
Every tractor owner knows that support and service after the sale is what makes a good tractor company great. That's what you can count on from LS Tractor. An extensive dealer network gives you convenient access to genuine LS Tractor factory parts and factory-trained technicians, keeping you in the tractor, not in the waiting room. Schedule your service with Synergy Co-op, your LS Tractor certified service center. LS Tractor, simply more.
Customer-owned, community-minded, Synergy Co-op.
Informing America's farmers and ranchers, AOA. Now back to Jesse Allen.
Well, as we kick off a brand new year, we still have a lot of the same issues and concerns and things to watch throughout farm country. When it comes to the ag economy and the farm bill and looking ahead to What are we going to put in the ground in 2025? A lot of different things for us to think about and take a look at. And joining us for the first Farmer Rancher Roundtable of the new year, we decided to bring back a couple guests from a past roundtable. In fact, pretty sure they were the first ever guests on my Farmer Rancher Roundtable. Joining us, they're both from Iowa. They're the hosts of the Farmer Sense podcast, Rick Willert and Andrew Foof. And guys, it is good to have you back with me here and helping us kick off the new year on the Farmer Rancher Roundtable. Happy New Year to both of you.
Happy New Year to you, and thanks for having me and Andrew, and this is exciting.
Absolutely. Yep.
Happy New Year. Good to see you again.
Yeah, it's good to talk with you guys. I think a spot for us to start, seeing as, you know, we talked about a half a year ago, basically. Let's think about maybe what has changed, if anything, good or bad, from your perspective of how just things look in farm country right now as we close the book on 2024 and look at 2025. Has much changed? Good, bad, indifferent? Rick, what do you think?
I think in June I was complaining about how crappy everything looked. It was a corn crop was having a hard time finding its nitrogen. We were really wet. We had like 19 inches of rain in May. On our farm, we planted all the beans first, all the corn last. That didn't work out. It didn't work out for bean yields, and it didn't work out for corn yields. We were down 20% on corn and beans for our yields. So if you think about that, you take 250 bushel average, take off 20%. There you go.
Yeah.
Not good.
Andrew, how about you?
Well, I was really kind of like Rick. We were wet early. But then as we got closer to harvest, we had that dry September. And I think that took the top end yield off for us. But we still had pretty decent yields. I'd say above trend yields for me. But it wasn't that huge record crop that we saw at the end. And then, you know, prices were quite a bit lower as well.
Yeah. And for transparency too, you guys are both in different parts of the state. Rick, you're in north central Iowa. Andrew, you're in southwest Iowa. So, you know, two different parts of the state, but still kind of the same story that, you know, yields not as good as they probably could have been for many folks. I mean, is that kind of the same theme you heard from a lot of your neighbors as well throughout 24?
Yeah, definitely from my neighbors. So we didn't catch any rain. We had a rain the last day of August. Other than that, it was like July 20 something before then. So it was over 30 days that we actually had a measurable rain, and that killed the soybean crop, and it didn't hurt my, or it didn't help my late planted corn either. I should say, back up and say, our average farm yields were down 20%, but we did have some farms in different areas. We're spread out in a 12-mile circle, and there was a couple farms that had close to the best yields they've ever had, not the best. And so not everything was a failure, but a couple farms were failures. Mm-hmm. And it surprised me. It didn't look like they would be, but there just wasn't anything out there. A lot of drowned outs from early, and then a lot of weed pressure.
Andrew, how about you?
Yep, I'd say a lot of people in our area did have probably the record yields or the best yields they've ever had. I think for myself, I know I kind of screwed up some timing issues, so it wasn't the best ever. But planting date did have a little bit to do with it. If you were in before it really started raining, there was a warm stretch there in April. And the guys that planted early, that corn got up and going really well. And then that rain set in, but it was able to come out of it. But the corn that was still maybe in the ground, it drowned out and had some emergence issues, uneven emergence. And I think that hurt the yield in those fields.
All right. Well, I want to talk about what you guys are going to do, maybe thinking about 25 planting wise. But I think to help get us there, we should also discuss your thoughts on the overall ag economy. You know, when we talked in June, I think a lot of folks were pretty nervous about the trend of, you know, commodity prices moving lower, input costs still high, inflation, et cetera. Well, now here we are starting a new year, and we got this economic aid package passed by Congress, this cash for farmers. Everyone's talking about it. I see a lot of folks saying they don't want it, that it's, you know, bailout, socialism, you name it, et cetera, et cetera. All the different terms are thrown around. It's not going to help the little guy. et cetera. And some of that may or may not be true. I don't know. I'd love your guys' perspective on this bailout money. Seems like a lot of it's going to your big three corn, soy, wheat producers. What's your guys' feelings on this, Rick?
How much time do you have, Jesse?
Yeah, as much time as we need. Well, up to an hour is what we
have. I'm starting to get the sweats just thinking about it. My anxiety goes through the roof when I hear people talk about not wanting the money. If you don't want it, then give it to me. Or better yet, be a Tom Brady and give your money back to the government if you want to help them bail out. Because if you're not going to get it, somebody else is. Didn't they just okay like $6 billion to Ukraine again yesterday? So we're getting 10. They're getting another 6. How many billions have they gotten? Do you want to keep sending it somewhere else? Or if they're going to budget it and put it out there, why not take it ourselves and boost our economy? Go out. If you're unlike me and have everything paid for, go buy a new tractor, go buy a new pickup, put an addition on your house, help out the construction guy down the road, help out John Deere, you know, not lay off all these people, you know, help out your economy. That's what it's for. I get the idea. You're like, oh, well, you know, it's bailing out the farmers that didn't market well or didn't do this. You know, I marketed well. I sat down to the balance sheet with my banker a month ago. Even though I marketed well, things don't look good. And I've heard that a lot. I haven't heard, you know, nobody gives you names of who's struggling, but you hear from your bankers and people in the neighborhood, and there's a lot of struggling farmers out there. So, I mean, let's just, if they're going to give it, let's take it and let's do good with it. I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to pay off debt. There you go. I'm sure Andrew's got a different take on this. I could go on forever. I mean, I got bullet points to who laid the rail. Let's see what Andrew wants to say about it.
Yeah, what do you think, Andrew?
Well, I think it's an excellent point. I mean, somebody is going to take that money. They've allocated that money. So it's going to be out there. But, you know, like Rick said, he's going to pay down debt with most of it's going to be passed through dollars, in my opinion. It's going to go to, you know, seed bills, whatever, because inputs are still really high. And as you start looking and forecasting for 2025 crop, it doesn't look very pretty. So you're going to use those dollars to maybe offset the loss from last year or try to show some positive profitability for next year in your marketing plan. So you can say, hey, I've got these dollars to try to make, you know, this next year profitable as well.
The January 2025 Farmer Rancher Roundtable, Rick Willard, Andrew Foof, the hosts of the Farmer Sense podcast, are with us here today. And thinking about this economic aid, and I'll throw in here as well the lack of a new updated farm bill, you know, and then we see all of this come down to the wire and this, you know, all the way we're governing just doesn't make sense to me in many ways. And you have something too, like year-round E15 that was taken out of a continuing resolution that was of no cost to the taxpayer. It feels like there's been some questionable decisions, but to what you guys are saying, there's a lot of folks who are struggling and need some certainty. So maybe this bailout money is not a bad thing if used in a good way, right? Is that a good way to put it?
Yeah, I would say that's the right way to put it. I mean, I know some people are going to say, well, it's just going to keep those guys that are paying high cash rent. So I see the negative side of that. But as far as the going down to the deadline, the government's been doing this for years. I mean, I worked for the USDA for 11 years, and I don't know how many times we'd come in and we'd have a drop dead date of September 30th and say, well, if they don't pass a continuing resolution, Monday morning you're going to be in. We're going to shut down all the computers. We're going to shut down. I remember shutting down, I think it was in 07 for 3 weeks, and it was there in October 1st. And personally, as a farmer on the side, that was the best 3 weeks of my life because I didn't have to go to work for the government, and then they did the back pay later. So I got lucky back then, but they always put off stuff till the very last minute. And then the people that pay for it are some of these, you know, like if you bank through the FSA and they would go shut down, then they're not able to distribute funds. So that puts people in a pinch during these shutdowns. But as far as the E15 thing, I was disappointed that they took that out. That means, like you said, it's a no cost. It'd be great for the ethanol industry being all corn. I mean, I'm kind of biased too, but it's kind of one of those things that I hated to see get taken out when it really didn't matter as far as cost-wise.
All right, we'll take a pause right there. We're up against the clock. It's the January Farmer Rancher Roundtable with Andrew Foof and Rick Willert from Iowa. We'll be back with more of the conversation right after this here on AOA.
Sometimes life is wonderful, and sometimes it's not. Cherish the good, but always be prepared for life's challenges. At Private Healthcare, we provide the peace of mind you deserve. With Private Healthcare, you'll get the coverage you want and healthcare you need. If your employer doesn't supply healthcare coverage and you don't qualify for Medicare or Medicaid, you need to give us a call right now. Private Healthcare is private health insurance for ages 65 and under with medical, dental, vision, and even prescription coverage. When life comes at you unexpectedly, you need to be ready. And health insurance is your financial safety net. If you're looking for health coverage at the best price and your annual household income is $35,000 or more, give us a call at 800-760-9937. That's 800-760-9937. 800-760-9937.
Tax season is here. Don't pay more than you have to. Let the experienced tax professionals at Sundstrom & Company in downtown Durand help you explore ways you can save money on your taxes. Sundstrom & Company works with farms, corporations, family-owned businesses, and individuals to make your tax headaches disappear. Call or visit Sundstrom today for an appointment at their Main Street Durand location next to the Courier Wedge. Sundstrom & Company, local accountants providing quality tax and financial management since 1980.
Milk markets were higher with this WRDN market update. I'm Brian Winnekins at the Mercantile Exchange. February milk up 9 to 2057. March up 7 to 2021. April up 11 to 1977. May up 4 at 1934. Meanwhile, live cattle markets mostly lower with the exception of the nearby month due to higher boxed beef prices. That was higher. Feeder cattle, though, moving mostly lower with triple-digit losses on a big technical sell-off and risk-off type of trade in many commodities. Hog futures also moving mostly lower. Again, continued concerns about consumer demand continued to pressure prices. February live cattle up 45 cents to 194.05. January feeder cattle down $1.65 to 264.82. February hogs down 37 cents to 80.77. Chicago Board of Trade, corn, soybeans, and wheat all sharply lower. Soybeans leading the entire grain complex lower. Poor weekly export sales report, coupled with a big drop in soybean meal and soybean oil and a risk-off type of trade on the day, really pressured beans. So that spread to corn and wheat as well, with a big drop in the markets. March corn down 8 3/4 to 450 3/4. New crop down 5 3/4 to 440 3/4. January beans down 18.5 to 981. New crop down 19 3/4 to 1008 1/4. March wheat down 16.5.
Wisconsin soybean farmers are fueling Wisconsin. In 2021, the value of Wisconsin soybeans was $1.61 billion. That fuels our state's economy, communities, and Wisconsin's future. Wisconsin soybean farmers fuel our state, country, and the world while protecting the land and water. Learn how the Wisconsin Soybean Marketing Board and Wisconsin Soybean Association are working hard to fuel our farms and future. Visit Wisconsin Soybean.
Just like you, Cenex Premium Diesel is no stranger to the field. In fact, Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster comes with a more complete additive package for a more complete burn. In simpler terms, you get restored power by up to 4.5% and restored fuel economy by up to 5%. Of course, there's always typical number 2 diesel. If you're not into the whole added power thing, Cenex Premium Diesel. Diesel that doesn't mess around.
Your Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster distributor is Elsevia Co-op.
Keeping America's farmers and ranchers informed. AOA. Now back to Jesse Allen.
Welcome back to AOA. It's our Farmer Rancher Roundtable for January. We're joined by Andrew Foof and Rick Willard from Iowa, the host of the Farmer Sense podcast. And right before the break, we were talking about E15 being left out of the continuing resolution at the end of December. Rick, any thoughts on E15 being left out of that overall package?
I understand the E15 because of the cost to change, have blending pumps and tanks. That was going to be a big deal. Didn't Chicago tried doing this a few years ago and they couldn't figure it out. I don't know if they're going to have shut down the city to update these gas stations or what the deal was, but it wasn't going to work. But just kind of talk about back to the handouts, you know, are some of these people complaining about the handouts? Are they getting crop insurance? You know, that's subsidized. What's this 45Z thing? That's a subsidy to ethanol plants. Am I correct? So
yeah.
It's I don't know, 6 to 1, half a dozen to another. I mean, you're going to complain about this, then you better start complaining about all the other programs you signed up for. I don't get it. I mean, it just seems that, yeah, I know I voted for Trump and I wanted the budget spending cut. I wanted less of it. And yeah, and then all of a sudden we get this check, you know, to increase the budget again. But like I said, $6 billion going to Ukraine. What did that do to the budget? So, I mean, take it as it comes. Maybe you're not happy about it, but do good with it. And yeah, I'm still on my soapbox, I guess.
Well, I'll ask you guys both this, and you brought up crop insurance, Rick. I mean, with an updated farm bill, I mean, we're now at the point where the farm bill's 6-7 years outdated. If we update reference prices and crop insurance levels and things like that, would that in itself be enough to help support struggling farmers in this current economic environment? Or is it just a small piece of the puzzle, so to speak? What do you guys think?
I think it's a small piece. I think people know how to play the insurance game. Yeah, I said it out loud, but everybody knows it. So, I mean, I don't think it's a large piece of the puzzle. And there's ways to make money, and a lot of big farmers out there are making money from crop insurance. So, Andrew?
Well, I think on the crop insurance side, there's been some new things over the last couple of years with the margin protection and the ECO stuff. And I'm not saying I fully understand how that works, but I know that people did take advantage of those situations because they were there, right? That's what they're there for, is to help with market fluctuation on fertilizer and chemicals during those times of, you know, price fluctuation as well, to help kind of stabilize revenue, I guess I would say. But I don't know as far as a whole if that would fix, you know, updating reference prices. I don't have those numbers on how much it would actually increase it, because we did have some good times, but I don't know how far do they look back on those?
No idea.
I'm not sure. That's something I'd have to find an answer to, but it's something that I think we take all this as a whole, and I'll bring it back to where I wanted to go with this discussion is, what does this do in the short term? What does this do for 2025 with the current landscape right now? What are you guys looking at on your operations? There's been talk of people cutting certain inputs, doing different rotations. You know, the ratio right now, I'd say, pretty heavily favors corn acres over soybean acres when you look at just the prices in general. So how does all this factor into your early decision making for 2025? Rick, you want to start?
So I've always been 50-50 corn soybean rotation because of the workload. It's just me and my dad. And so I am going to go a little bit heavier corn, about 10%. One just happened to be that the farm I'm renting, they took out the fence line and I wanted to make it one big field. So that just worked out better. Another one we purposely made because there was tile ditches that hadn't been worked for a long time, so we decided to disc it down. I mean, there was reasons there. But other than doing a little more corn because it pencils out better, applying fertilizer where I need it and not just broadcasting it willy-nilly out in the field and only using, you know, 20, 30, 40% of it. So I'm not cutting back on fertilizer, but I'm putting it where I need it. I added 2x2 to my planter. I strip till. I didn't put anything in my strip, but I plan on doing a couple wide drop passes to supplement. And I'm doing all liquid fertilizer because liquid is available quicker. It doesn't need that time to break down, and you put it where it needs it, and you get the best bang for your buck that year, right?
How about you, Andrew?
Crop rotation isn't changing. I've been all corn for 4 years now. I'm going on 5. So nothing changing there. It still pencils the best for me versus soybeans. Insect pressure really hasn't been an issue yet. Once that does maybe happen, I will have to maybe take a harder look at soybeans right now. But as like Rick said, I strip till as well. So I've already put my fertilizer down. I can't say that I've cut really anything actually this year, but it's more about, you know, in season timing and going to just give that plant what it needs as it needs it, you know, but not be excessively applying or, you know, not overly optimistic goals saying, hey, if it needs a quart, put 2 quart because it might, you know, it might be favorable. But just be really cost aware this year, maybe more so than we have been in the price environments we've been in the last couple, because we've really been trying to push for yield. Now we just need to push for profitability.
Yeah, and that's why I'm doing the 2 wide drop pass, because I can get what I need to a certain point, and then let's see what the weather's doing. You know, is it going to be hot and dry? I mean, why put more out there? Why, you can look at it as wasting money, but why spend more money to get the same yield? So that's kind of my reason for doing the 2 fast wide drop now.
And I think cost awareness, you know, Andrew, you mentioned that term, and Rick, you mentioned, you know, looking at the books and things, you know, for 24 didn't look too great. And I think that's the same story for a lot of folks. So I would have to think that, and you guys are sensible farmers, which is why your podcast is the Farmer Sense Podcast. Mm-hmm. But I mean, I have to think that to weather this downturn, you have to be aware of every dollar being spent on your operation to make sure you are farming in 26, 27, 30, et cetera. And, you know, being aware of what you're doing and being proactive maybe, or vigilant, or whatever term you want to use. You just have to be smart about your books right now and your marketing and everything. Right, guys?
Yep, I would agree with that. I mean, there, you know, we kind of went through this in what, 14, 15, 16, we saw that downturn. The difference, you know, from now and then is the interest rates. You know, back then we were in that 5% interest rate, and now we're in that 8 to 10% interest rate, depending on where you're at. So that's, I think this is going to make it a little tougher, and it's got to make you pay more attention to all the dollars going in and out. And, you know, like the one thing I talked about before we started here was, I can't believe how much my insurance just for my equipment, buildings, vehicles, whatever, has went up over the last year. You know, that's one thing that kind of shocked me when I got that bill here, and I'm like, oh, that's not good. That's got to look at maybe making some changes or changing deductibles or something, but just kind of be vigilant and look into all the different details as you're spending stuff throughout the year.
Yeah. Rick, your thoughts?
This year has been very humbling. Like I said, going over the balance sheet, it's like, wow, you know, maybe I shouldn't have bought that or spent that. You know, you're always looking for ways to improve your farming operation to make more money, but some things don't pencil out right now. And I guess, to be honest and kind of go down another road, I mean, the last year or more, there isn't a night I haven't gone to bed saying a prayer that I can repay my debt, you know, and support my family in some way. So, I mean, that's a big thing to me. I mean, let's maybe pray more, and let's do a better job. Let's be better people. Let's just be happy we're here doing what we're doing. I mean, there's smaller farmers out there that, yeah, maybe they didn't market very well, and they're, you know, this subsidy is going to help them a ton, but they love farming. That's all they know that's all they know how to do. That's what they do. That's what they were brought up doing. And they haven't made the best decisions all the time to become these mega farmers like everybody, you know, seems to want to become. Not me, but I just want to have a good life, a good family at home, good mental health, that's going to be huge in the next year. I mean, this might have saved some bad things from happening down the road, this money. So let's think about it in that way. Let's not always think about the bad. Let's try to focus on some of the good.
Yeah, I think that's a great point for the mental health side. Reach out and talk to fellow farmers, because you know other people are struggling. You know, it's just one of those times where, you know, be a good neighbor. Talk to people and, you know, try to help them through it.
Well, gentlemen, I think with that, that's a good spot for us to close out and wrap up this month's roundtable, unless either of you have anything final you want to add or reiterate to folks. Floor is yours if you got anything else you want to add.
Back to the whole religion thing. I'm going to church this afternoon at 4 o'clock. I'm going to thank God for everything good that happened in 2024, and I'm going to pray for a good 2025, and I hope everybody else does too. And great, happy new year. Good seeing you again, Jesse. That's all I got.
All right. Andrew, anything for you?
Yeah, I want to say thank you for having us, and everybody have a great 2025. Stay positive. Things can get better.
Absolutely. Good stuff. Once again, Andrew Foof, Rick Willert, the host of the Farmer Sense podcast from Iowa. Thank you both for being with us here on the January 2025 Farmer Rancher Roundtable on AOA. And hard to believe it's already a new year, but some good thoughts from both Rick and Andrew here as we wrap up our January roundtable. Coming up next, we're not done. We're going to take a look at some ag news headlines to close out the show. Back with more here on AOA right after this.
Two hours ago, Kyle arrived at the bar.
Hey, what's everyone drinking?
30 minutes ago, Kyle got his friends another round of drinks.
Cheers!
5 minutes ago, Kyle decided to drive home drunk. A minute ago, a law enforcement officer pulled up behind Kyle.
Sir, have you been drinking tonight?
A chain of events that began 2 hours ago is about to change Kyle's whole world. Drive sober or get pulled over. Paid for by NHTSA.
What's that sound? That's the sound of Downy Unstoppable Scent Beads going into your washing machine and giving your clothes freshness that lasts all day long. There it is again. It's like music to your ears, or more like music to your nose. That freshness is irresistible. Let's get a Downy Unstoppable bottle shake. And now a sniff solo. Nice. With Downy Unstoppable, you just toss, wash, wow, for all day freshness.
Coverage varies by plan, view contracts and exclusions at endurancewarranty.com. Auto repair bills are through the roof. $3,000 to replace the transmission, $4,000 for a blown engine. And if your manufacturer's warranty is expired, you'll have to cover it all out of pocket. You need an Endurance Auto Protection Plan. No matter what the mileage, if your car is under 20 years old, Endurance can get you covered on the engine, electrical system, transmission, AC, drivetrain, and more. Endurance has plans for any budget. Repairs can be done at the certified mechanic of your choice, and they're paid directly with no middleman. Plans cover 24/7 roadside assistance, towing, battery jumps, fuel deliveries, tire changes, lockout services, and a 30-day money-back guarantee. Act now and get our elite benefits, including complete tire care and key fob replacement, a $2,000 value at no extra cost. With Endurance, you could never pay for covered auto repairs again, so call now for your free quote. Call 800-380-9012. 800-380-9012. Again, that's 800-380-9012.
Been fighting the war on drugs for a long time. We answer the phone 24/7, 365 days a year. On a busy night, we answer hundreds of calls. This war on drugs needs our intervention.
Since 2014, Addiction Hope and Helpline has helped people struggling with drugs and alcohol.
When the phone rings, we help people when they need it the most. When we get a caller into treatment, it feels good. It's a blessing.
If you're struggling, drinking, using, and need to get clean, don't suffer alone in silence. Call Addiction Hope and Helpline.
Our people understand, and many are also in recovery. Call for support and strength. You can call for someone who can't or isn't willing. It's an act of love. Together we can help you beat this thing and erase addiction from your vocabulary once and for all.
Call 800-320-1993. That's 800-320-1993. 800-320-1993.
When news happens in agriculture or when the markets are moving, we've got you covered as your trusted voice in agriculture. The team at the American Ag Network has the knowledge and experience to keep you informed on the issues impacting farmers and ranchers. We've got you covered on air, online, and on demand. Find the American Ag Network on your favorite social media platforms and also follow the American Ag Today podcast wherever you get your podcasts. We are the American Ag Network.
Make sure to subscribe to the Market Talk YouTube channel. You can watch our latest interviews with top market analysts in the country, find bonus content, and much more. It's easy. Just go to youtube.com/@MarketTalkAg and hit the subscribe button. Or you can search for Market Talk Ag on YouTube.
Get the latest bonus interviews, exclusive content, and more with the American Ag Today podcast. Just search for American Ag Today and give us a follow wherever you get your podcasts.
We are the keepers of the wild, America's original and most invested conservationists. For more than 80 years, we've been committed to conserving wildlife and the natural landscapes that define our nation. From rugged alpine ridgelines to peaceful tall grass prairies, we've supported the conservation of more than 36 million acres of American wildlands. Our funding has led to cleaner water, fresher air, and improved wildlife habitat. From abundant fish and waterfowl populations to robust deer and elk herds, nothing is more important than maintaining wild spaces for adventurers to explore and wildlife to thrive. We are America's hunters and target shooters, stewards of the American outdoors.
America's hunters and target shooters, along with firearm, ammunition, and archery manufacturers, have invested more than $46 billion to help state fish and wildlife agencies manage and protect wildlife and wild lands across America. For more information, visit OutdoorStewards.org.
Keeping America's farmers and ranchers informed. AOA. Now back to Jesse Allen.
Well, the majority of farm aid in the American Relief Act of 2025 is set to go to corn, soybean, wheat, and cotton producers. Welcome back to AOA. As we get a breakdown of the numbers in that $9.8 billion in economic aid payments that were passed by Congress as part of the American Relief Act of 2025 at the end of December, corn, soybean, wheat, and cotton growers across the U.S. are set to benefit the most. The legislation that passed along with an extension of the 2018 Farm Bill as part of a continuing resolution provided relief payments for 20 covered crops and is intended to offset part of the economic losses that producers are facing due to low commodity prices and high input and production costs. Analysis from the Food and Agricultural Policy Research Institute, FAPRI, at the University of Missouri breaks down the top states set to receive payments along with per crop figures of what the payments will look like for producers. The top 10 states set to receive payments were based on estimated payments for corn, soybeans, wheat, cotton, sorghum, rice, barley, oats, and peanuts. An estimated 80% of the total payments are going to corn, soybean, and wheat producers, with cotton at number 4 on the list. Now, we break this down by crops. Corn, $3.829 billion. Soybeans, $2.553 billion. Wheat, $1.532 billion. Cotton, $975 million. Sorghum, $248 million. Rice, $216 million. Those were the top six. Looking at the payment rates per acre, cotton takes the top spot at $87.26 per acre. You look at corn, $42.51 an acre. Soybeans at $29.50 per acre. Wheat at $30.69 per acre. Oats, $77.66 per acre. That's actually number 2 on the list. Peanuts are number 3 at $76.30 an acre. Rice at $69.52 per acre. Sorghum, $42.58 per acre. And barley at $21.76 per acre. And when it comes to the state-by-state breakdown, Texas takes the top spot primarily due to being the largest U.S. cotton producer. Iowa's number 2 with strong support for corn and soybean farmers. The top 10 states, the breakdown there of the economic aid, $963 million going to Texas, $846 million to Iowa, Illinois, $790 million. Kansas, number four, at $787 million. And Nebraska at $625 million. Rest of the top 10, Minnesota set to receive $616 million. North Dakota producers, $597 million. South Dakota, $497 million. Indiana producers, $400 million. And Missouri rounding out the top 10 at $391 million. You can view the full report from FAPRI as well. Just go to their website at fapri.missouri.edu, fapri.missouri.edu, or you can go to agricultureofamerica.com and find a link to this story. Again, the majority of the economic aid, farm aid payments going to corn, soybean, wheat, and cotton producers. And we talked about it with Rick and Andrew during the roundtable here earlier in the show. Whatever your opinion may be of the economic aid, it is a done deal. You can find more details again from FAPRI. Just go to our website or theirs to take a look at the full breakdown. As we look at other news headlines here today on the show, Argentina's Buenos Aires Grains Exchange raised its corn planting estimate while trimming the pegged soybean areas for the 24-25 season. The corn crop is now seen covering over 16.308 million acres, up from a prior estimate of more than 15.567 million acres. The exchange says the new forecast was a correction of the previous one. Soybean planting areas now seen in over 45.46 million acres, a reduction of 494,200 acres for the previous estimate. Now, farmers are sowing less on lower soybean prices, and many are planting alternatives. Soybean and corn compete for the most acres in Argentina, one of the world's top corn exporters and the number one exporter of soy byproducts to international markets. Argentina's farmers have sown 85% of their soybean acres and 81% of the corn crop. The report also says farmers have harvested 89% of Argentina's expected wheat crop. Well, 45Z clean fuel tax credits, which are key to expanding ethanol use in aviation fuel, may have to compete for dollars with President-elect Trump's efforts to preserve his 2017 tax cuts. Will there be a so far unfinalized 45Z tax credit for sustainable aviation fuel? Well, that depends, according to Renewable Fuels Association head Jeff Cooper.
How are you going to pay for those tax cuts? And you know, frankly, we think that's why Trump and others are already looking for pay-fors, ways that they can pay for some of those cuts.
Cooper says more Republicans are supporting Inflation Reduction Act programs like 45Z, including by forming a Senate Sustainable Aviation Fuel Caucus last year.
They're seeing investment or big plans for investment in their districts and states as a result of some of these IRA provisions.
However, Trump and some GOP lawmakers are targeting the IRA with its EV tax credits and other clean energy incentives. Cooper says efforts are underway to convince Trump to keep 45Z and other biofuel credits.
People in his orbit are pointing some of these things out to him, and we're hopeful and expecting that the Trump administration would not just throw the whole IRA out the window and claw back any unspent funding, that they would take a more surgical and more discerning approach to the program.
All the more reason, Cooper says, amid the uncertainty for the Treasury to finalize 45Z rules sooner rather than later. One final news note, CHS has closed on its acquisition of West Central Ag Services, a cooperative based in West Central Minnesota. The former West Centrals joined the CHS supply chain as a new ag retail business unit called CHS West Central. All locations will remain operational and grain and agronomy services will continue to be available. Jesse McCollum, former West Central Ag Services CEO, will serve as senior director of operations. McCollum says in a press release that this is an exciting time for our owners and our cooperatives. We join CHS and become part of the global supply chain through CHS. We are thrilled to be part of the nation's leading farmer-owned cooperative to serve farmers in West Central Minnesota for generations to come, quote unquote. That is going to do it for News Headlines here today on AOA. Thanks for joining us. Coming up on our next program, we're going to get a preview of Commodity Classic coming up in just a few months in Denver. Rob Schaefer, one of the co-chairs for Commodity Classic, will join us. We'll talk markets and ag weather as well. Have a great rest of your day. Thanks for listening to AOA.
Think back to the last time you were in nature. What comes to mind?
hiking through a lush forest, floating on a lazy river, or perhaps watching a vibrant sunset on a beach full of glistening plastic bottles and food wrappers. Unfortunately, this isn't a joke. Here in the U.S., we generate the most plastic waste in the world, with 70% of it ending up in landfills. And by the time you're done listening to this ad, more than a dump truck's worth of plastic will have made it into the ocean. Plastic has become a useful part of our everyday lives, but it's polluting the air, water, and soil that all life needs to survive. This is a human problem that can be solved with human action, but it's going to take all of us, from individuals, to businesses, to governments, and everyone in between. Help create a cleaner future for both people and nature. Visit wwf.earth/plastics.
This is McGruff the Crime Dog, and I need you to help me take a bite out of crime. Another teenager fell victim to fake pills. Smells like big crime that needs to be stopped. Where are these pills coming from?
When you buy a new house, you might say,
shut the front door.
Winning.
No, seriously, shut the front door. We own this house now.
But you actually need to say,
like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
That's right. The local State Farm agent is there to help you choose the coverage you need.
Welcome to my crib. No one says that anymore, but I don't care.
So just remember, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
State Farm, Bloomington, Illinois.
Oh, no. Stomach issues again?
Stomach issues?
Who are you?
Your pancreas. I could be the real reason for your diarrhea, gas, bloating, stomach pain, or loose, oily stools.
I thought it was my stomach.
People often do. But any of these symptoms could mean having a condition called exocrine pancreatic insufficiency, or EPI. With EPI, the pancreas doesn't release enough enzymes to break down food. But EPI is manageable. Use the symptom checker on identifyepi.com and speak with your doctor. That's identifyepi.com. Sponsored by AbbVie.
Great music, familiar local voices, news, and information. It's all here. You found Real Country, 1430 AM Stereo, WRDN, Durand, Nelson, Maiden Rock, and 107.3 FM. Translator W297CH, Durand.
ABC News, I'm Mike Dubusky. Mike Johnson, Republican from Louisiana, has secured the House speakership. On the House floor, he outlined his plans for the 119th Congress.
We have a big agenda.